Welcome to all those joining us for the Shir and Chaim Aran. We dedicate the learning Leilui Nishmas Tuvia B'Rabbi Yisrael Yitzchak, Yerachmiel Daniel Ben Gedalia, and Rosa Basi Tamar for a complete refuah shalema for all those that need it, including Shimon Eliezer Ben Rochel, Chaviv Chana Bas Galia, Lebalea Bas Sipoira, Sora Bas Odel, Chana Bas Hadassah Shendel, Mendel Bas Miriam, Besoich Shar Choli Yisrael. We've been speaking quite a bit about the Machlokes against Rabbeinu Zal from the Shpala Zeda. I just want to add two more notes, and I believe then we're going to be leaving this topic. Rav Nosson Zal writes that when this Machlokes, when this conflict first started, Rabbeinu Zal said, I knew that the Samach Mem, that the Sotan, would rise up against me in a very powerful way, but it was very surprising to me that they gave this over to him, that they gave this mission to the Shpala Zeda. And Rabbeinu Zal mentions, sort of jokingly, the Gemara says that a person is better off throwing himself into a lion's den rather than to be given over to the hands of his human enemies. We've mentioned this in the past. The Or HaChaim HaKodesh points out by Yosef HaTzadik and his brothers that an animal doesn't have bechira. An animal doesn't have free choice. An animal cannot hurt someone unless it receives a direct command from Hashem to do so. Whereas a human being does have bechira and can do harm even where it's not what Hashem really wants. So the Gemara makes this statement, Mutov sheyapil odom atzmoy leguv haroyos, better that a person throw himself into a lion's den, valyum sar beyad soinoi, rather than to be given over to the hand of his enemies. So Rav Nosson Zal said, but what does a person do? What could a person do when his enemy is a lion? Because the Shpala Zeda's name was Reb Aryeh Leibish. Aryeh Leibish. However, Rabbeinu Zal added, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Rabois machshovois belevish va'atzas Hashem hisokum, that sometimes a person makes all kinds of plans in their heart, but what Hashem wants is really what's going to happen. So the wording there is lev ish. It's two words, the heart of a person. Rabbeinu Zal put the two words together, Rabois machshovois belevish, that this Rabbi Leibish could be making all kinds of plans, chas v'shalom, against me, but in the end, it's what Hashem wants that is going to happen. And Rabbeinu Zal said, in the future, when Mashiach comes, in the next world, there's going to be a lot of humor regarding him. And then, afterwards, Rabbeinu Zal said several chapters in Likutei Moharan, several shiurim, that pertain to this topic of Machlokes, and Rav Nosson Zal adds, we bless Hashem who saved us from this, and that we were zeicha to be in the camp of Rabbeinu Zal. One more note, Rav Nosson Zal said that he heard told over in the name of Rabbeinu Zal that when Rabbeinu Zal was in the city of Berditchev that summer that we mentioned in a previous year, where he was there for a major wedding that was taking place. There were many Rabbonim gathered at the time. Rabbeinu Zal said that at that point in time, he received a clear understanding of everything about the Shpala Zeda, everything about him and everything about all of his doings. And up until that time, Rabbeinu Zal didn't say a word about him, because he said he didn't want to speak about him at all until he felt he really understood completely what he was all about. And then afterwards, Rabbeinu Zal spoke about him a little bit, but at very rare intervals. This wasn't a major topic of discussion. Now Rav Nosson Zal switches to a different topic, And he mentions that in the year Tov Kuf Samach Zayin, which is 4 years before Rabbeinu Zal passed away, he made an unusual, very long trip where he traveled far away from his home base to Novorich, Ostra, Zaslav, and Dubna, and several other cities. And he was also in the famous city of Brod, which was known as a city of very great rabbis. And Rabbeinu Zal spent approximately a half a year on this trip. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, no one really knows what Rabbeinu Zal was doing on this trip, because he did not accept or receive any money from anybody. And in addition, in most of the places he traveled to, he made sure that people did not know who he was, especially in the city of Brod. He went in there with tremendous secrecy. And it was on this journey that Rabbeinu Zal's wife, his first wife, passed away in the city of Zaslav on Erev Shavuos. She had gone there specifically because she wanted to see a particular doctor. She was very sick at the time. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, we, the students, came for the holiday of Shavuos to be with Rabbeinu Zal. And after his first wife passed away on Erev Shavuos, during that summer, a shidduch was presented to Rabbeinu Zal. And that was when he contracted the sickness of tuberculosis. And as soon as this sickness started, Rabbeinu Zal said that he knows that he's going to pass away from this illness. And Rav Nosson Zal goes on to say that during the month of Elul is when Rabbeinu Zal married his second wife. Now, that Rosh Hashanah, Tov Kuf Samaches, the following Rosh Hashanah, Rabbeinu Zal traveled to the city of Lemberg, where it was known that there were very, very, very knowledgeable doctors there. And Rabbeinu Zal stayed there from Rosh Hashanah until the middle of the next summer. And he returned home, Parshas Bullock. Interesting, this is going to be next week in Eretz Yisrael. We're going to be reading Parshas Bullock. This coming Shabbos is Parshas Chukas. The following Shabbos is Bullock. When he traveled to the city of Lemberg, he traveled via the city of Volochysk, which is where one of his sons-in-law had come from. And it was there that Rabbeinu Zal wanted to cross the border. It seems that there were different governments that were in charge of, a different government was in charge of Lemberg at the time than the part of Ukraine where Rabbeinu Zal came from. And they wouldn't allow him to cross the border. And Rabbeinu Zal remained there near the border for more than 2 weeks. One night, Rabbeinu Zal had a dream that there were many soldiers there from the Kaiser of Ukraine, the part of the Ukraine where Rabbeinu Zal was from, and also there were many soldiers from the other side, from the Austrian Empire. And the leaders themselves, the two leaders, were there also. And Rabbeinu Zal asked one of the important officers there for permission to allow him to cross the border. And the person said to Rabbeinu Zal, I definitely will not allow you to enter into our country. And it appeared because he was afraid that Rabbeinu Zal was going to cause a major turmoil in the country. So Rabbeinu Zal went and made the request from the Kaiser of the country himself. I believe this is the Austria at that time. This is all part of the dream. And the Kaiser himself said, I'm not afraid. I'll let him come. And Rabbeinu Zal woke up in the morning and he told this to the person that was with him. He told him about the dream. And Rabbeinu Zal said, I know that today I'm going to cross the border because of this dream that I had. And sure enough, that's what took place. That day they crossed the border. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, regarding this dream, there were other important factors, but unfortunately it was forgotten because it wasn't written down at the time. Now, in paragraph Kuf Chaf Aleph, 121, in the older versions, it's paragraph 18, Rav Nosson Zal writes that in the year Tov Kuf Samach He, which is 6 years before Rabbeinu Zal passed away, between Pesach and Shavuos, Rabbeinu Zal traveled to the city of Sharigrad, and he spent 2 weeks there. And this trip was also something unusual. And Rabbeinu Zal said to the people that were with him that the religious world is yearning, when are we going to have another Baal Shem Tov, another tzaddik like the Baal Shem Tov? Because, and he said, if the Baal Shem Tov were to come again, in a sense, they would also be searching. They would still be searching even more. And then suddenly, Rabbeinu Zal picked up and left the city of Sharigrad. And he told the people that were with him that he's running out of the city like a person running from fire. And sure enough, shortly afterwards, there were a series of major fires in that city of Sharigrad. And Rabbeinu Zal commented, if the people of that city would know the incredible favor I did for them during the time I was there, the sentence is not completed. And Rabbeinu Zal said, but still, this is better than a plague, chas v'shalom, a terrible plague. In those days, there were unfortunately terrible plagues in Europe and those places that caused the deaths of many people. And Rav Nosson Zal says that we understood from his words that he had saved the people of the city of Sharigrad from a plague as a result of him, the time that he spent there. Rav Nosson Zal adds, Eile Masei B'nei Yisrael, these are the travels of the Jews. Fortunate is the person who is Zoche to know the one secret of the unusual travels of Rabbeinu Zal, which sometimes we didn't see any obvious reasons. And Rabbeinu Zal made a statement about his trip to Novorich, that trip that we mentioned earlier where he was away for 6 months, that if people would know what my trip is all about, they would kiss every one of my footsteps. Because with every step that I took on this trip, I turned the world over to the side of Zchus, Lekaf Zchus. Rav Nosson Zal writes that on Shabbos Chanukah of the year Tov Kuf Samach Tes, this is paragraph 124 in the newer versions and 21 in the older version, of the section which speaks about Rabbeinu Zal's birth and places that he settled in during his earlier years. On Shabbos Chanukah, which was shortly after he had returned from Lemberg, because that summer he had returned from Lemberg, and on Chanukah is when he revealed the chapter, a long chapter on Likutei Moran, chapter 2 in the second half of Likutei Moran, which begins with the words, Yemei Chanukah Hem Yemei Hoidah, that the days of Chanukah are days of tremendous expression of our appreciation to Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal told the students that were present at the time to sing the chapter in Tehillim, chapter 124, Shir HaMalos LeDavid, Lulei Hashem Shehoyo Lanu, where David HaMelech says, were it not for Hashem by my side, I never would have survived all of the opposition and all the battles that I had against me. So Rabbeinu Zal told his students to sing this, and they sang it Friday night many times, again and again. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, also one time when Rabbeinu Zalatori was still living in Medvedevka, also they sang this song, Lulei Hashem Shehoyolanu. And afterwards, Rabbeinu Zal turned to the people and he said, you should know that you're not yet really considered my loyal students, because there's going to come a time when the whole world is going to rise up and oppose me. And then those that will be firm and loyal and remain with me, they'll be considered my true loyal students. Rav Nosson Zal adds here in parentheses, we have no one to rely on other than our Father in heaven, because there were many that rose up with opposition against Rabbeinu Zal, and against us. And were it not for Hashem being with us, we never could have survived all of this. Paragraph 126. We're not going in order because I took certain pieces about the Shpala Zayt and put them all together as one train of thought. Rav Nosson Zal says now, it was our custom to be with Rabbeinu Zal three times a year, especially on Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos Chanukah, and Shavuos. Remember, they were in Chutz Loretz, so that Shavuos was a two-day holiday there. And during these three times, we were always by Rabbeinu Zal from the time that he established residence in Breslov, which means during the last 8 years of his life. And Rabbeinu Zal instructed all of his students to make sure to be with him for these three times. And he would, during these three times, he would say incredible, incredible Divrei Torah that went on for several hours. On Rosh Hashanah, Rabbeinu Zal would speak towards the end of the first day of Rosh Hashanah after they returned from Tashlich, and he would start speaking then, when it was sort of twilight, not yet night, and the Torah would go well into the second night of Rosh Hashanah. On Shabbos Chanukah, he would say Torah at Shalashuris, which was the custom among all the tzaddikim, among the Hasidim, because of the fact that Shabbos Mincha is the holiest time of the week. Generally, that's when they would say the most important Torah of the week. And then on Shavuos, Rabbeinu Zal followed a similar pattern to Rosh Hashanah, that he would start the Torah towards the end of the first day of Shavuos and continue well into the night of the second day. But Rav Nosson Zal says, but it was regarding Rosh Hashanah that Rabbeinu Zal put tremendous emphasis that we should make sure to be by him. And he said he wants all of his students, all of his followers, to be with, to come to him for Rosh Hashanah as one. No one should be missing. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, the seriousness of how Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this is indescribable. And he repeated it many times, that his whole focus, Rabbeinu Zal's whole entire focus, is Rosh Hashanah. And even on the final Rosh Hashanah of his life, when he was already in Uman, and he passed away about 10 days after that, Diber Imanu Gamken, Rabbeinu Zal also spoke a lot about the incredible importance of being by him for Rosh Hashanah. And this is where Rav Nosson Zal and all the other students understood that Rabbeinu Zal was making it perfectly clear that this did not just apply when Rabbeinu Zal was physically living, but rather it continued to apply even after Rabbeinu Zal passed away, because Rabbeinu Zal knew that he was not going to live for another Rosh Hashanah, and yet he was putting tremendous, tremendous emphasis on this. And Rabbeinu Zal said, what can I tell you? There's nothing greater than this. There's nothing greater than being by me for Rosh Hashanah. In Likutei Halachos, there's probably several hundred pages expounding on the uniqueness of Rosh Hashanah, what makes Rosh Hashanah so unique and so special, and the tremendous importance of going to Tzadikim for Rosh Hashanah. Rav Nosson Zal speaks an incredible amount about this. We know that in the Shulchan Aruch, it says that on Erev Rosh Hashanah, there's a custom to go to graves of Tzadikim, to be mispalel there, to go to the cemetery to be mispalel, so that those that have already passed away will join in our tefillos on Rosh Hashanah throughout Aseres Yimei Tshuva and Yom Kippur. And we daven Hashem based on the merit of those tzaddikim that are buried there, that Hashem should receive our tefillah, our tshuva, in the best way possible. Rabbeinu Zal said, and if you see that by other tzaddikim, they don't make so big an issue of this, they don't put so much emphasis on this, so you have another question. You have another question about me. Meaning that he did not want to explain, he didn't want to give a reason as to why he's saying this is so important. Because besides this, there were many questions about him. So let this be another question. The fact that he's so strict about being by him for Rosh Hashanah, much more so than other tzaddikim. Because even though by other tzaddikim, it was also the custom at the time that their students would leave home to be with their rabbi for Rosh Hashanah, but none of them spoke about it with such incredible importance. None of them put such importance on it. And Rabbeinu Zal once said that it would pay to announce that anyone who is zeicha to be by him for Rosh Hashanah should be happy a whole year. And he quoted the pasuk that we find in the Navi Nehemiah, where it says, "Ichlu ma'adanim ushesu mamtakim, eat sweet things, drink sweet things. Av'al te'otzevu, don't be sad, ki chedvas Hashem himozchem." Because rejoicing with Hashem, that's your greatest strength. Rav Nosson Zal adds, there were another three times during the year when Rabbeinu Zal gave an official shir, when he spoke Torah. Once when he would travel to the cities of Chirin and Travitsa, once during the winter time, and he would be there for Shabbos, and at Shalashuris he would speak Torah, and he would say Torah twice during that period, during the Shabbos. And Rav Nosson Zal says, meaning on Shabbos Shira, which takes place during the winter in Ukraine, Shabbos Parshas Beshalach, and one additional Shabbos. That's during the winter time. But in addition, during the summer, he would also travel there, but then he would only say Torah once in Chirin on Shabbos Nachamu, the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av. And we find in the Likutei Moran, those shirim that were given specifically at those times, Reb Nachman Chirin usually points out in his Sefer Parporos L'Chochma, we'll see also coming from Chaim Moran, that Reb Nosson Zal tells us which shir was given on Shabbos Chanukah, which one on Shabbos Nachamu, and very often, in the shir, Rabbeinu Zal would include what the holiday that was taking place at the time. So that there were six times a year officially that Rabbeinu Zal gave a shir. Three times in the city of his home in Breslov, and three times on the road when he was traveling. Besides that, there weren't any fixed times when Rabbeinu Zal gave an official shir. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, because generally, during other times, during Shalashuris, he did not sit with us. He sat in a room, in his own private room, adjacent to where we were. It was only on these Shabbosim, Shabbos Chanukah, Shabbos Nachamu, Shabbos Shira, and these, that he would say Torah publicly. However, Rav Nosson Zal adds, however, despite that, we heard a lot of Torah from Rabbeinu Zal throughout the year. It's just that it wasn't a designated time, an official time, but rather whenever the opportunity came up, we would hear incredible revelations of Torah. Sometimes it would be on Friday night, sometimes Shabbos morning, sometimes Motzoi Shabbos right after Avdolah, and sometimes during the weekdays. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that very often it would happen that while Rabbeinu Zal was speaking with us about current events or about something that came up, it would lead into a discussion of beautiful revelations of Torah. And the Torah was related to the things we had been talking about earlier. Rav Nosson Zal points out this happened very often until we started realizing that every discussion with Rabbeinu Zal was all Torah. And whenever we would pay attention carefully to what he was saying, we were able to hear that he was revealing incredible insights of Torah until we finally realized this and started writing down all of these sichos. And this is the Sefer Rabbi Nachman's wisdom, Sichai Saran, where Rav Nosson Zal started capturing all of these unofficial Divrei Torah that Rabbeinu Zal spoke. However, Rav Nosson Zal adds, what's written down is maybe 1/1,000 or 1/10,000 of what we heard. And he writes, Ashrei ho'eis, Ashrei hashor, Ashrei horega, Shezochinu lamoid lefanov l'shmoya hevel pina kodesh. Fortunate is the time, fortunate is the hour, fortunate is the moment that we were privileged to stand in the presence of Rabbeinu Zal and to hear the holy words that came from his mouth. If only this opportunity would present itself again now, we would roll thousands of miles in the dirt in order to be zeuche to come to him, to be able to hear the holy words coming from his mouth, which were above all ordinary levels of holiness. Any questions, please? Now, Rav Nosson Zal tells an unusual incident that happened with Rabbeinu Zal. Once, when Rabbeinu Zal was traveling to the city of Medvedevka, and this was part of the trip was on Erev Shabbos on Friday, and Rabbeinu Zal was supposed to be spending Shabbos in Medvedevka. That was a time that he was going to be welcomed by students of his that were there, and he was going to be speaking Torah at Shalashuris, and he ended up spending Shabbos in a village outside of Medvedevka, a village called Halav Kiyuka, because the horses were exhausted and they refused to go any further. They couldn't go any further, and it got late to the point where it was close to the time of lighting candles, and they were only in this village. Afterwards, when Rabbeinu Zal turned home, he told over the whole story in great detail, at great length. And he said that at the time that the horses were moving along and it was starting to get dark, and Rabbeinu Zal wanted so desperately that they should run, but they refused, they couldn't. Rabbeinu Zal said it felt to him like sometimes when a person's in a dream and something's happening, something terrible is happening, and the person wants to run away, and somehow they can't run, they can't pick up their feet. Sometimes this happens to a person in a dream. And Rabbeinu Zal said that's what he was experiencing over there. He felt like he was in some kind of a twilight zone. And he said he had tremendous, tremendous pain and suffering from the fact that he was terrified that it shouldn't come to desecrating the Shabbos. And he said that while they were moving along, he felt like a person being led to Gehenim, Chas V'Shalom. Where when a person is being led to Gehenim, the person is terrorized at the time to an unbelievable letter, an unbelievable level. That's exactly how he felt. That's how terrified he felt of the possibility of Chas V'Shalom desecrating the Shabbos. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that from the way Rabbeinu Zal was expressing this, I understood the incredible fear and terror that a person feels, chas v'shalom, when they're being led to Gehenna. And Rabbi Nosson Zal says, there's no way I can describe this, I can put this into writing, because Rabbi Nosson repeated this several times, and he expounded on the awesome fear that he felt at the time, and the fear that a person experiences, chas v'shalom, when the person is being led to Gehenna. And he says, that's exactly the fear I felt at the time, terrified that I should, chas v'shalom, come to desecrating the Shabbos. And this took place during the winter time before Shabbos Shira. Rav Nosson Zal writes, there was a whole story about this, because the fact that he was delayed wasn't stam. He was traveling to spend Shabbos Shira with his students, and there were many people that had gathered from several cities and came to Medvedevka at the time, who wanted to hear this special Torah on Shabbos Shira. And Rabbeinu Zal wanted to make whatever tikkunim he needed to make through the holy Torah that he would say and through all of his involvement with his students. And Rabbeinu Zal said that whenever there are any of these special times of getting together, when he gets together with his students to speak words of Torah, these official times, he said he feels he experiences the same type of fear that the most religious Jews feel on Erev Yom Kippur, right before going to shul on the eve of Yom Kippur. That's what he said that's exactly what he felt that Shabbos or Yom Tov when he's saying Torah officially. After that whole incident that he was supposed to come to Medvedevka for Shabbos and he didn't arrive, got delayed, and there were people from the city of Medvedevka who had come out to greet him. They had come to this village at the time thinking they would greet him and accompany him back into the city. But what ended up happening was that they all had to spend Shabbos in this village and they had just about nothing to eat or drink. They ended up eating bread, challah, made from oats. And they made kiddush on the challah. They didn't have a cup of wine or a cup of grape juice. Or even yayin sorof, even whiskey. And they didn't have a knife. They didn't have any kosher utensils to use. And Rabbi Nosson told over this whole story in detail of what they experienced. After Shabbos, they went ahead, they traveled to Medvedevka, and that Monday was Tu Bishvat, the holiday of Tu Bishvat. And they made a beautiful Suda, and Rabbi Nosson sat with his students, and he told them the Divrei Torah that he had planned on telling over on Shabbos. Rabbi Nosson Zal says, fortunate is the person who gets to hear even one incident of what went on in Rabbi Nosson's life, because everything that he went through, regarding everything that Rabbi Nosson went through, there were deep, awesome secrets as to why things had to play out exactly this way. Now Rabbi Nosson Zal closes this section by saying that after Rabbi Nosson returned to Breslov from that trip to Lemberg that he had made, where we said he had spent time there, he no longer traveled those Shabbosim that he used to, Shabbos Nachmu, Shabbos Shira. He was sick. He was sick with tuberculosis and was much weaker than he had been previously. And once, on a Shabbos Shira, Rabbi Nosson started speaking about this, how it used to be in the old days, in a sense, how he would travel to these different cities and he would tell over incredible words of Torah. And Rabbi Nosson was telling this over like with a deep longing and yearning, like he wished he could continue this. And he said that when he would sit down on the wagon to prepare for the trip, that was a special avodah. There was something very special happening by the fact that he left his house and sat on the wagon. And when he would arrive at the city, whether it was Chirin, Trovitz, the different cities we mentioned before, and the people would come out to greet him, and they would show tremendous respect, that was a different major event. And then when he would go all the way into the city, to where he was staying, let's say, that was a different inyan. Each thing was an avodah where there were important things taking place every step of the way. And when he would say Torah, that was a whole other thing. And then afterwards, when people would give him monies to support him, that was a completely different thing. And Rabbeinu Zal went through the whole Seder, the whole order of events, how it would be, how each time there was something different taking place, that there were major, major accomplishments every step of the way. Rav Nosson Zal says, we understood from his words that regarding these travels, these trips, that this was a special, awesome avoida of Rabbeinu Zal whenever he traveled. And the trip itself and the respect that was shown to him when he arrived in these places, each item was something major. It's interesting to note, Rav Nosson Zal writes in Likutei Halachos in one place that we know usually we refer to the written Torah as five books, five chumashim: Bereishis, Shmois, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Dvorim. However, there's a pasuk that tells us that there are really seven. There are seven pillars of the Torah. Chotzva, Amudeho, Shiva. Hashem carved out the pillars of the Torah, seven pillars. Bereishis is one, Shmois is two, Vayikra is three, Bamidbar is divided into three books. Bamidbar is three books. There's the first part, there's the middle part, and then there's the end. The middle part consists of two sentences, two psukim, which speak about the travels of the Jewish people. In Parshas Bahaloscha, where it says, Vayhi ben Esoya ha'oroim, where you have those upside-down nuns in the Sefer Torah. An upside-down nun in the beginning of these two sentences and an upside-down nun at the end. And there are 80-some-odd letters in those two psukim. And the Torah tells us that this is considered a separate chumash, just these two lines. And then you have the part that comes afterwards. So Bamidbar is like three chumashim, four, five, and six. And then Dvarim is number seven. Rav Nosson Zal says, and he goes into a discussion there of maybe four or five pages expounding on the significance when Jews travel. That any time the Jews are traveling, there's major, major tikkunim taking place. Especially if we're dealing with tzaddikim, because we see that the Ten Commandments is not a separate chumash. The Shira Sayam is not. It's only these two sentences which speak about the travels, when they would travel, and when they would come to a rest stop. Those two sentences are considered an independent chumash because there's such incredible significance and importance to the travels of a Jew. Interesting, last night was Moitzoi Shabbos, and I used a seder that I don't usually use. And after the Shmon Esrei of Moitzoi Shabbos, there are many prayers that are found afterwards. There are different tzaddikim that said we should say certain prayers on Saturday night after Shmon Esrei or even after we finish Maariv. And one of the authorities there wrote that in the name of the Arizal, we know that a person should not say all of those other prayers. The only prayer that they should say is the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, where it speaks about Yaakov Avinu traveling and how he sends messengers to his brother Esav with gifts, all kinds of gifts. So that the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, the first 30 or 40 psukim of Vayishlach, appear in many Sidurim right after the Saturday night davening, because again, on Shabbos, we don't travel. After Shabbos is over, those people, and the Arizal said, those people who are planning on making a trip during the following week should say Vayishlach, should say that portion. none of the other tefillos, according to the other Arizal, the other tefillos should not be said. Again, and we mentioned that there are two chapters on the Likutei Moran based on this pasuk, Eile Masei Bnei Yisrael. These are the travels of the Jewish people. How the Midrash says that this is the tikkun for Eile Elokecha Yisrael, for when the Jews joined with the Erev Rav in worshipping the golden calf. And they said, these are your new Hashem, Chas V'Shalom. This Eile is the tikkun for that Eile. And Rabbeinu Zalvir expounds, so and this applies to us today also. Rabbeinu Zal made a comment that sometimes a person sees a trip in front of them and they're not sure whether they should go on the trip or not. Sometimes they have important reasons to go, but there's reasons not to go. So Rabbeinu Zal said, when a person feels compelled to make a trip, they shouldn't fight it, because who knows what tikkunim the person has to accomplish on the way or when they arrive there. Just Rabbeinu Zal said, the person should be careful not to commit any sins, to be especially careful when a person is in transit. They're more vulnerable than when they're in their own house, a king in his own palace, in a sense. Any questions, please? Now we go on to another section in this Sefer, which is called Nesiosoi L'Eretz Yisrael, Rabbeinu Zal's trip to Eretz Yisrael, which he made before he moved to the city of Breslov. This was in his 20s, when Rabbeinu Zal was in his 20s, when he was living in Medvedivka, and at one point he made the decision to go to Eretz Yisrael. This is written up to a large degree in Rabbi Nachman's wisdom in Sichai Saran, but here in Chaim Aran we have some details that are not necessarily mentioned there. At the time Rabbeinu Zal made this trip, there was wars going on between the Turks and others, and it was very dangerous at the time to travel to the Middle East, to travel from Ukraine to Eretz Yisrael. And yet Rabbeinu Zal understood, he decided that was the time for him to go, despite the dangers, and Baruch Hashem, he succeeded in getting to Eretz Yisrael and getting back home safe and sound. However, before the trip, Rabbeinu Zal traveled to the city of Kamenitz, which is a famous city in Eastern Europe at the time. And he said to his student, Reb Shimon Zal, who was Rabbeinu Zal's first student. He's the one who had Rabbeinu Zal's bar mitzvah, at Rabbeinu Zal's wedding bar mitzvah. He told him, I see that you're going to be a great person. I want to be your first student. Rabbeinu Zal said to him, I see a trip before me, but I don't know where. I don't know where I need to go. So Reb Shimon Zal smiled. How do you go on a trip not knowing where you're going? And Rabbeinu Zal said to him, I'm telling you the truth. I don't know where I'm headed. I know that I have to travel now. So Reb Shimon went and he prepared a wagon and horses and everything that they would need for a trip. And he traveled with Rabbeinu Zal. While on this trip, he asked Rabbeinu Zal if they could go via the village of Volochovets. Rabbeinu Zal agreed, and there they took on another passenger, a person who accompanied them on this trip, until they came to the city of Mezhebuzh, which is the city where Rabbeinu Zal had been born, the city where the Baal Shem Tov lived. And still Rabbeinu Zal did not know where he was headed, where his destination was. When he arrived in Mezhebuzh, at the house of his parents, they were overjoyed to see him, and his mother said to him, my son, when are you going to go to your grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov, to visit his kever? Rabbeinu Zal said, if my grandfather wants to see me, he'll come here. He'll come to the house. Afterwards, that night, Rabbeinu Zal slept over in his parents' house, and in the morning, his mother got up, and she came to Rabbeinu Zal And she said, okay, your grandfather was already by you. He already visited you here. When are you going to visit him? Implying that she knew that the Baal Shem Tov had come to Rabbi Nezal during the night. Rabbi Nezal said, right now I can't go. On the way back, if Hashem wants, I'll visit the kever of the Baal Shem Tov. And sure enough, that's what happened. Every detail, every move Rabbi Nezal made, there was significance, there was importance. Now, shortly before they arrived in Mezhebuzh, Reb Shimon became sick. And when they arrived in Mezhebuzh, Reb Shimon was feeling very, very ill, and Rabbi Nezal had to leave him in Mezhebuzh. He could not take him with him for the rest of the trip. He did not go with Rabbi Nezal to Kamenetz. And when Rabbi Nezal was leaving Mezhebuzh, and he was leaving Reb Shimon Zal to continue on the trip, Reb Shimon didn't want to let him leave until Rabbi Nezal promised him that when Rabbi Nezal returns, he'll find Reb Shimon alive. And sure enough, that was the case. In addition, before Rabbi Nezal left his home in Medvedevka, he said to Reb Shimon, are you able to come on a trip with me? And he said, this trip is going to take a week or two or a month or a quarter of a year or a half a year or a whole year. I don't know. So Reb Shimon Zal was quiet. But when he saw that Rabbi Nezal was serious, that he was getting ready for a trip, Reb Shimon Zal said to him, I'll put everything aside. I'm coming with you, no matter how long it takes. And sure enough, he joined Rabbi Nezal for the trip. In Mezhebuzh, when Rabbi Nezal was leaving and Reb Shimon Zal was very sick, Reb Shimon Zal said to Rabbi Nezal, when am I going to see you again? Because you said you don't know how long you're going to be on the trip. You said you have no idea. So Rabbi Nezal said to him, I'm not going to be away that long. Maybe 8 days or 10 days, not more than that. So Reb Shimon Zal said, but when you were at home, you said you don't know how long it's going to take. Rabbi Nezal said, that's true. When I was at home, I didn't know. But now I know. Now I know that I need to travel to the city of Kamenetz. But I'm not going to be there long. Because that night, the Baal Shem Tov had come to him, and the Baal Shem Tov revealed to him where he has to go, that he has to go to the city of Kamenetz. And sure enough, Rabbi Nezal traveled there, and Rabbi Nezal says once again, what Rabbi Nezal did in Kamenetz, we have no idea, we don't know, and it will not be known until Moshiach comes. It is known, it's not mentioned here, but I believe it's mentioned in Sichos Aran, that at that time, no Jew was allowed to spend the night in Kamenetz, in the city of Kamenetz. And Rabbi Nezal went there and he did spend the night there. And from that point on, that decree was eliminated. That's one of the things, one of the changes that took place when Rabbi Nezal visited that city. When he returned from Kamenetz, Rabbi Nezal said Torah the following Shabbos on a pasuk in Tehillim, Dovko nafshi acharecha. My soul feels a deep, deep longing for you, Hashem. And Rabbi Nezal revealed a very deep Torah on that pasuk. And Rabbi Nezal said, he prided himself and he said, imagine if on return from Kamenetz, I'm revealing such an incredible Torah, when I come back from Eretz Yisrael, you could imagine what kind of incredible Torah, Mirtz Hashem, I'm going to reveal. And we find in actuality that after Rabbi Nezal returned from his trip to Eretz Yisrael, he said he's ashamed and embarrassed of the Torah that he said before Eretz Yisrael. And he didn't really allow most of the Torah that he had revealed before Eretz Yisrael was not published. It was only some selected Torahs from what he had said before that were included in Rabbi Nezal's in the Likutei Moran. Rabbi Nezal adds, paragraph Kuf Lamed Aleph, that when Rabbi Nezal arrived from Kamenetz, when he returned home, a daughter passed away, one of his daughters passed away. And Rabbeinu Zal said that like the Kohenu v'Kohenu Chas v'Shalom Yomos Etzli, that it seems that this type of thing will be repeated by me, Chas v'Shalom, of children passing away for one move in term of one change that takes place in me, the change that took place from before I was in Kamenetz to after I was in Kamenetz. And he added the words, Hashem Yatzilenu, may Hashem save us and protect us, Chas v'Shalom, from tragedies. Any questions, please? Please.
Why is it that terrible tragedy would follow? We know the story. You told the story of Arizal, and his student kept asking him, "Is it's a similar thing? A tragedy occurred. Why is it that such a thing is happening?"
The answer is that this is one of the things that we don't really understand. On one hand, Hashem wants the tzaddik to climb, to go higher and higher, and to be makar of the world and everything. And in it seems that while we're in this world, because of the Eitz Hadas, because of all of our sins, part of what goes with the package is that tzaddikim have to endure all types of suffering, all types of difficult suffering. We know the Gemara makes a statement that there are three things that are achieved with suffering: Eretz Yisrael, Torah, and Chaye Olam Haba. And a person would say again, why? What do you mean? Hashem wants us to get to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem wants us to learn Torah and to fulfill the Torah. It seems that because, especially because of the Pigam of the Eitz Hadas, and because of many, many other sins that we've accrued throughout the thousands of years from the beginning of creation, it requires that we endure. We go through different challenges and tests and suffering in the process of trying to come close to Hashem. And sometimes the greater the tzaddik, the more that's put on him, that these tzaddikim have to endure tremendous challenges, tremendous struggles and suffering. Rachmanu
Litzlan. Thank you. On what Rav Nachman said on Uman, and especially in light of these current events, because we're getting closer to Rosh Hashanah, where it's about 3 months out, I think from what I understand, it's still not safe to go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. Would you advise someone, especially someone in Eretz Yisrael, just look at start making plans to go to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which I think I've heard you say was a more probable thing to do for those in Israel? Or what would you suggest?
The answer is that I've seen and heard in recent, the past month or two, that people are traveling to Uman regularly and going there for a Shabbos, going there during the weekdays. And for Shavuos, this past Shavuos, there were 700 people that went to Uman. They didn't go through the previous paths. They didn't go from Kiev Airport or Odessa Airport. They came via the surrounding countries, Romania, Poland, Hungary, Moldova. But they landed in those countries and traveled by train or bus or car from those countries into the city of Uman. So far, the past 2-3 months, it's been safe. No one has been hurt or harmed on the way there or while they were in Uman or on the way back. If things continue to be this manner, I would definitely try to make every effort to go for Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah, Rabbeinu Zal put such incredible emphasis on it. And we're praying every single day, literally praying every day. Tomorrow night, Monday night in Yerushalayim, there's a major gathering being planned in the main shul, the main Breslov shul in Me'asharim, to an atzeres tefillah, it's called, a gathering where they're going to say special slichos, say all kinds of special prayers. There'll be a few rabbis speaking about preparing for Rosh Hashanah. So we're trying very hard to pray that, if at all possible, those that want to go to Uman should be able to go there safely and return safe 100%. And those that can't, for whatever reasons, one of the best alternatives is definitely Miron, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal. Otherwise, there are people that gather in Yerushalayim and indeed the other places where there is a Breslov gathering. Any other questions, please? We'll hold it over here. This week, we have Erev Rosh Chodesh. Tuesday is Erev Rosh Chodesh, and we have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, Wednesday and Thursday. I hope to be zeuche to go to Meron on Tuesday for Erev Rosh Chodesh, Yom Kippur Katan. And in addition, I was invited to one of the Breslov shuls in Tzfas to be there for a Sudas Rosh Chodesh. So I hope to have the privilege of being in these two places. We'll definitely include all of our friends and all of our tefillahs. Shem should help us with the merit of these great tzaddikim to be zeicha to all the yeshuas that we need.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Shkaya.
Thank you.